You may be seated.
The sermon I preached this morning is a similar topic, but it is not a similar sermon. And I will probably reference it once. If you look at verse 8, the people are asking, literally, this is a stupid question, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? And then this question, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of... They knew God hated baby sacrifice. They're going to an extreme. God, it seems like you can't be pleased. And so, Lord, what do you want me to do? Kill my kids? I mean, makes this stupid statement out of the blue. And God gives, he says, you need to come back to reality. And verse 8 says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That word require, if you look it up, it means demand. What does God demand of you? When it's all said and done, did you do what God required of you? What part of the mission should never have been left undone when it was all said and done? And here God says three things: do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. If you'll do your own word study on the word justice and mercy, it'll help you understand how God uses them in the Word of God. And it's a tremendous help. That's not what I want to help us with tonight. I want to consider walking with God. I talked to one person and I said, this is a long time ago, it wasn't here. And I said, boy, I hate seeing you struggle with the strife and the frustration. I said, a walk with God would really help you not be so frustrated. And this was their reply to me. I walk with God, I read my Bible. And I took that and I said, it's not the same. They said, oh yes it is. I'm going to use that statement tonight going into this, and I want you to just watch carefully. Let's go at the first time walking with God. Since this is what God requires of us, go to the first time it's mentioned in your Bible. Go back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Look at the first time it's mentioned. Look at verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. There's something about, for every dad, having a child bring some... My dad said, son, when you were born, it changed my life forever. He said, knowing I had a child, I think this is the same thing that happened. Enoch didn't walk with God until Methuselah was born. Then he saw the weight of being a parent and said, dear Lord, I need your help. Then he walks with God for 300 years. Then, look at verse 23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and then this is one of the most amazing parts of the Word of God, and Enoch walked with God, verse 24, and he was not, for God took him. Now Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Seven is God's number of perfection. Numbers do mean something. I think it's amazing that the next person that God mentions walking with him is Abraham, the tenth from Noah. Ten is number of Gentiles, government. And so we're all related to Noah. You all know that, right? Okay, with the flood. Watch this. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch had no Bible. The Bible was not given yet. This was the first scripture that came to my mind when that person said, I walk with God, I read my Bible. I said, did you know you can walk with... Now, the Word of God helps. I'm not diminishing the Bible tonight, but I know people that read their Bible and don't walk with God. And I also know that Enoch walked with God and was in tune with the Lord, obviously, without his Bible. Amen? Now, don't take that too far. I think it's amazing. For 300 years, Enoch walked with God. And I don't know what time, we'll find out when we get to heaven, but as God and Enoch are talking, I don't think it was in person. I think Enoch went out and walked every day with God, enjoying His presence. And I think one day, 300 years later, God says, Enoch, I really like spending time with you. I love you too, Lord. You want to spend the day with me? I'd love to. And God took him, poof, translated him. Picture of the rapture right before the flood. Like what's going to happen with us before the tribulation. All right? And God took Enoch, and he's been spending the day with God ever since, where there is no night, in the place where there is no night. Here, God takes him. Let's look at the next place. Are you ready? Genesis, you're in Genesis 5. Go to Genesis 6. Look at verse number 8. Genesis 6, 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He's the next one. I'm sure he learned it from his grandpa. Here is Noah. Enoch is seventh from Adam, and I said earlier from Noah. Noah is tenth from Adam. Where did he learn to walk with God like this? And the Bible says the thoughts of man were evil continually. Violence was on the face of the earth, and God repented that he hated man except one family, Noah. And he finds grace. So when everybody else is literally destroying their life, Noah, in a wicked society, walks with God and saves his family from judgment. Saves his family from the judgment of God. Walking with God, I believe, is a couple of things, and I'm just going to give you a few thoughts tonight. Walking with God, I think, first of all, recognizes His presence. I've told you this before, but if you bring a visitor to church, and they're walking beside you and nobody knows them, and nobody greets the visitor that's right next to you, oh, good to see you, and what's your name? Nobody, you mean they can walk all the way in the church, sit down, and leave, and nobody speak a word to them. Would you consider that rude? You never acknowledged their presence. Somebody's walking next to somebody, and you can say, hi, how you doing? And then you just move on and totally ignore the other person. That'd be rude, wouldn't it? Same thing with walking with God. I think the first thing in walking with God is you realize His presence. He's right there. You don't take His presence for granted. You don't, if you're walking with God, you don't forget He's there. Well, I mean, God's everywhere, and God, you don't forget. If you're walking with God, you're aware of His presence. Let me ask you this tonight, because this is just what I wanted to pose some questions. How much do you ignore God? How much? How many times in the Old Testament He say, beware, when you come into the land that I give you, beware lest thou forget. We're prone to forget. That's our tendency. Our tendency is to get used to something, take it for granted, and then forget that it's there. That's our tendency. That's human nature. We have to fight. I know this, walking with God is not natural. There's nothing natural. If you walk with God, it's because you on purpose, you put a sign on your mirror in your bathroom, Jesus is coming, talk to Him, you put a sign when you're driving in your car, put some of that invisible tape on your rearview mirror, the Lord is here. I mean, whatever you got to do, if you walk with God, it's not by accident, it's not natural, it's because you did it on purpose. Because if you do what comes natural, you naturally take Him for granted. I naturally forget. I write myself reminders. You say, you? Yeah. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget that He's right here. That He's right here. And if you're walking with Him, you recognize His presence. Did you know He's always there? Psalm 85:8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Let me ask you something. I have several questions tonight. When do you shut everything off so you can hear the still small voice of the Holy Ghost? You don't understand. In a world of gadgets and toys and phones and all of this, there has to come a time. I've watched people. Leave the TV on. I can't handle silence. I talk with teenagers. They leave the stereo in their room playing all night long. I don't have a problem with that, but I always suggest that you might want to shut the rock music off and turn some Bible on, and if you want some, I'll give some to you. I think that'd be a good thing to play at night, low-key, but not the filthy music. Nobody wants to be as far as, when is your time? When you shut off the radio, you shut off the TV, the computer, all of it, and you say like Samuel did, speak for thy servant heareth. I'm listening. When you read your Bible, God wants to talk to you, and God still speaks with people. The problem is, we're not listening. We're not listening. When I read my Bible, that is God talking to me. When I pray, that's me talking to God. And that's good. That's a starting place. But it is supposed to go further than that as a Christian. That's a starting spot. You're in Genesis chapter 6. Would you go to chapter 18? Genesis 18. So Enoch walked with God, and he didn't have a Bible. Noah walked with God, and he didn't have a Bible. Look here at Abraham. Watch this. Genesis 18, and look at verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. This is the first time, not the first time, but this is one of the appearances in the Old Testament where the Lord Jesus comes down in person. You say it was an angel. There's two other angels that are going to appear and go into Sodom, but here it says the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Unto Abram. Watch this. As he tells Sarah she's going to have a child, then look at verse number 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And watch this, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And then look at, so two men walk towards Sodom, they take off, and the Lord, I believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the same in the New Testament as He is in the Old Testament, is standing there next to Abraham. And Abraham, then what did Abraham do? Watch this. Look at verse number 23. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And then there's that famous prayer where he says, God, my nephew Lot's over there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lord, if there's 50 righteous, he knew Noah was saved, 8 on the ark. So he works from 50 on down. He knew about Noah, so he starts praying, Lord, you know, you spared Noah and his family. I know it doesn't say that, but I think that's what he's thinking. And he said, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, would you spare it? And 40 and 30 and 20 and Lord, if there's 10. And then, in that famous prayer, if you've not read it, that's not what this is on tonight, but watch this. It says, look in verse 33, and the Lord went His way as soon as He had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. That's three people tonight commune. The word commune means, it means conversing or holding a conversation. Communing. Enoch walked with God and he didn't have a Bible. Noah walked with God and he didn't have a Bible. Abraham, I believe, communed here, spoke with the Lord, walked with God, and didn't have a Bible. I started thinking about this. I enjoy counseling. I enjoy meeting with people. I enjoy helping with the Word of God. But I can't teach you what to do in every problem in life. But if I teach you to walk with God, He's the one that will give you the answers. How do you teach a teenager all that you're going to face? How do you teach a young married couple all that they're going to face? I mean, the books would be this thick. You understand? But you can say, if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, And if you'll walk with God, no matter what you face, God will help you. Well, what happens if this happens? And then what happens if life gets complicated? And then if this... If you'll walk with God and enjoy Him, He'll show you what to do. I can't be there through everything. That's what I want for my kids. I can't be there for all of it. I got one kid in one direction at a college, one kid in another direction. What do I do if... Walk with God. That's not a cop-out. Oh, that way you don't have to come up with an answer. No, I'm dead serious. Walk with God. He'll give you the answers. He will never fail you. If you'll do what? First thing in walking with the Lord, realize that He's right there with you. Realize that He's right there with you all the time. Many times I'm asked a question, and my reply is, let me pray about it. That's not a cop-out either. I find Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What? He was walking with God. And then the next verse in Hebrews 11 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. His presence is real. He is right there. He's closer to you than your next breath. He lives inside of you. He never leaves you. When others will, He never will. He'll never leave you. How much do you rely on God? How much is your fellowship with the Lord worth to you? You will find the healthiest, happiest, safest Christians Their fellowship with God. Not your relationship happened when you got saved. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your fellowship. I don't want nothing between my soul and the Savior. I don't want anything in between. My fellowship should... You say you're a pastor. If you're saved, That's the most enjoyable part of the Christian life, for crying out loud, is you've got instant access to a holy God, Almighty God. You can enter into the secret place of the Most High anytime that you want. And if you lose that, if you lose your walk with God, you're still saved, and I'm so glad. But let me tell you something. Church becomes miserable. What is there to enjoy without God? He's the reason for it all. He's the reason for it all. Your walk with God should be everything to you. If God is real, then you don't hide things from Him. And I'll watch the time tonight. Go, take your Bible and go to John chapter 4. If God is real to you, then you don't ever hide things from Him. He knows what you looked at on the computer. He knows what you looked at on the phone. Well, then instead of trying to hide it from Him, why don't you confess it to Him? You don't hide something from someone. I mean, He's got a video. You understand? He's got the T-shirt. However you want to say it. He was there. He was there all the time. He never left you. When you were doing right, He was there. When you were doing wrong, He was there. And if you realize His presence, you don't try to hide it. You can't. And He says, okay, our relationship never changes, but our fellowship goes no further until you come clean. That's a walk with God. You don't hide nothing. 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 Watch this. You say, how do you know? John chapter 4, verse 23. Watch this. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, I love this, seeketh such. God's looking for such to worship Him. How do you know? Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know what that tells me? You can't hide nothing from the Lord. You can't hide. So don't try. Your whole Christian life comes to a halt every time you do. You go no further. God says, I'm waiting for you to acknowledge that you know it was wrong. I saw it all. Now it's time to come clean. That's one of the most enjoyable parts of the Christian life, I think, is instant access to God. Watch this. Did you know because God is a spirit, did you know your thoughts are objects to Him? What kind of a house do you make God live in inside of you? If He's a spirit, and He is, and He lives within us, I believe our thoughts. He sees our thoughts. He sees all of us. So do you allow God to live in a clean mind or a dirty mind? And when you think a bad thought, everyone's done it, then, Lord, I'm sorry I thought that. He saw the thought. The devil didn't, praise God. He can't read your mind. But God saw it. Lord, I'm sorry I thought that thought. Lord, I'm sorry I had that desire. I'm sorry. And you confess it, and praise God, you can keep on moving. But don't try to hide it. He's a spirit. And God sees everything that we think. God knows us. If you read Hebrews, it says, with Him, we are naked with Him with whom we have to do. You can't hide nothing. And Judgment Day will also show that. How real is God to you? You grow as you learn about and know Christ, as you walk with Him. This is life eternal. John 17:3. What is life eternal? That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Your relationship with the Lord began when you got saved. And now, God says, you can get as close to Me as you want. I love Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I want to know Him. Notice something else about Enoch. I'm going to have you go to the New Testament, go back to the right before the book of Revelation. Go to Jude. Jude, and look at Enoch here. And watch this. Jude, verse 14 and 15. Jude, right before Revelation. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. So Enoch was a preacher. Remember that society that was God was getting ready to judge and smite with judgment of the flood? In that society, Enoch stood up and said, I see the Lord coming with 10,000 of His saints. And he was seeing, roughly 6,000 years from then. God was showing him, look at the next verse, verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Enoch preached for the Lord because his walk with God let him see sin as exceedingly sinful. And it didn't matter to him how rough society was. Well, but this isn't politically correct. I don't think Enoch was politically correct either. He said, if that's wrong, that's sin, stop doing that. I'm telling you, the Lord's coming and He's going to judge every one of you. I don't think he knew the flood was coming. But I think he said, my walk with God helps me stand against sin. I think when you see sin in our community, it ought to bug you. The Bible says the spirit of Paul was stirred within him when he saw the idolatry of the city. He could see that, and he was like, and he got up and he preached. You say, well, he was flesh-driven. I think he was a very spirit-filled man. Enoch here is preaching to an ungodly society, and was allowed by God. His walk with God showed him that sin was exceedingly sinful. Number two, walking with God means that you agree with God. You may have heard the verse, but I want you to see it. I want you to think about it later. Go to Amos 3:3. Go to Amos 3:3. It's in the Minor Prophets there, right before the New Testament. Amos chapter 3. If you haven't got it memorized, it's probably one of the easier verses to memorize. However, it's very important to the Christian life. It's very important. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You know what I realize in the Christian life? If you don't walk with God, it's because you don't agree with Him. Well, I forgot. I know you forgot. Now, that's our tendency. Well, I just wasn't thinking about it at the time. I know, but the bottom line is God says two people cannot walk unless they're agreed. You say, you can apply that to husband and wife. You can apply that to friends. I believe the one that we're supposed to apply it to first is the Lord. And there's only one reason people don't walk with God. Because they disagree. Me and God just don't see eye to eye. And any time you say, are you sure? Let me ask you a question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Does God agree with your music? Does God agree with the movies that you watch? Does God agree with your thoughts? Does God agree with what you allow to come out of your mouth? Does God agree with those you call your friends? If the answer is no to any of those, then that is why you don't walk with God. Because you and God don't agree. The moment you can come to grips with this, you can fix it. But if you keep blaming it on other things, well, I forgot my schedule and stuff. Look, when He's right there, there's only one reason you don't spend time with Him. Because you don't agree. Well, God and I, we kind of disagree. I mean, I kind of want to do this right now, and I kind of want to carry this out through to the end. So, I'm going to put God on hold for a while, and I'm going to do my own thing. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer to the question is no. No, they cannot. There has to come a point. Walking with God means if I can see something in the Word of God that I am doing that is wrong, then I surrender, I repent, and I confess it as sin. There has to come a point in every Christian's life when surrender to the Word of God becomes premium. I have surrendered. If God said it, and I find out I was doing it, I don't know, I don't have all the answers, but I know God has all the answers. If I find it, then I quit. That's submission. That's submission to the authority. When you decide to make the Bible your boss, Psalm 119, verse 128 says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. God, the answer to every problem I'll ever face is in the book, and everything you have to say is right. And Lord, if I disagree, I'm wrong. That's called an agreement that everybody has to make, or you don't go anywhere in the Christian life. If I don't agree with God, I can't walk with Him in any area where I disagree. I have no fellowship with God in any area where I decide to do what I want to do instead of what the Bible says. I break my fellowship with God whenever I want to be the authority and run the show or do what I want to do. Psalm 66, verse 18, very powerful verse. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Word regard means to look and lean towards. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I'm looking at it, God, yeah, I'm sorry I did it, but I'm leaning towards it. And I really don't plan on quitting it. Do you understand? I'm still toying with it. I still flirt with it. I'm making provision for it, you know, I'm freezing some and putting in the freezer, you know, just in case, you know. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What's that mean? God's over here, but I'm looking at it over here. And God says, when you're done playing with it, I'll listen to you. I'll listen to you. You say, God will never leave me nor forsake me. You are right. I'm not talking about God leaving you. I'm talking about your fellowship with God. You have all of God, but He does not have all of you. That's what we learn in the Christian life, right? I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to give. I'm learning to depend on Him more. I want to trust Him more. He lives within your body, the temple of God. But He does not have complete access to all of you until you invite Him. Luke 11, we won't read it, I've read it before, but God says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Walking with God is walking in the Spirit. Walking with God is enjoying the Lord. Walking with God is living your life with Him each day. He wants to go to work with you tomorrow. He wants to help you raise your kids. He wants to help you in your marriage. He wants to help you. He's there all the time. He'll never leave you. Walking with God includes soul winning, but it is so much more than that. Walking with God includes reading the Bible and praying, but it's more than that. When they took Richard Wurmbrand, this is only 60 years ago, when the Russians invaded, as far as communism invaded, the name of the country fails me. And I just talked to some refugees from them about 3 weeks ago. But anyways, starts with an R. Romania. Okay, sorry. When Richard Wurmbrand was the pastor and they took his church when the communists invaded. This was in the right around the 1950s. When they invaded his church, took his church members, stripped them in front of him, and then kicked them with the nails in their feet, and he watched his church members bloodied by the soldiers. Then they took that pastor, and he says in his book, Tortured for Christ, if you've never read it, you need to. They put him 300 feet in the ground. They took him and lowered him into a tunnel. In total darkness, they only let him out once a day, and it was regardless whether he had to use the restroom or not, and they kept him in there for 3 months. He said, in total darkness, 300 feet underground, they could take my Bible from me, but they couldn't take my walk with God. They said, how'd you make it in total darkness, just being given enough nutrition and enough water? He said, it was my walk with God. That's how he made it through it. That's how he made it through it. Walking with God includes going to church. But it is, I know people that go to church that don't walk with God. You say, well, you can't go soul winning without walking with God. Judas did. Judas did. Right? He went out with the 12. Judas led people to Christ while being lost. Walking with God includes externals and a dress code. But it is much more than that. It's a beautiful truth that God made you and saved you. I want to look at just one more place tonight. Would you take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5. While you're going there, I just want to read you this. It's a beautiful truth that God made you and saved you to be with Him. God wants to spend time with you. Mark chapter 3 says this, He ordained 12 that they should be with Him. You were chosen to be with God. You're going to Galatians chapter 5. I'll read you 1 John chapter 1. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Absolutely amazing. Your walk with God is supposed to be premium. And when it suffers, can I tell you something? The rest of your relationships suffer. Every time we say, I don't get along with so-and-so. Every time we say, well, you know, I just don't like him. We tell on ourselves. Because it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if our fellowship, if our walk with God is what it should, then our other relationships are what they should be. And the only reason we don't get along with other people is because our walk with God is not what it should be. In other words, I love the sermon that Brother Galyon preached, this first, then this. But I really believe if I don't go after this first, if I fix my walk with the Lord, then my other relationships, it's amazing what falls into place. Why? My walk with God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you're walking with the Lord, Watch this, Galatians 5, and then we're all done. Galatians 5, look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look down at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So let me get this straight. Between verse 16 and verse 25 are all the traits and characteristics so that I can recognize when I'm in the flesh and when I'm in the Spirit. He's going to say, if you're in the flesh, this happens, and when you're in the Spirit, this happens. Watch this, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And then he's going to make a list. This is what a Christian does when they're in the flesh: idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation. You know what idolatry is? That's what's allowed to come between you and the Lord. I think it happens to every Christian if you've been saved very long. Witchcraft. That's the exercise of supernatural power supposed to be possessed by persons in league with the devil or evil spirits. And you don't watch who you're hanging around. Hatred, an emotion of extreme dislike or aversion. Detestation and abhorrence. Emulations. Emulations is the desire for ambition to equal or excel. If anybody is experiencing that, then God says that is of the flesh. That's of the flesh. What's wrath? Vehement or violent anger, intense resentment, deep indignation, strife, striving together or contending in opposition. It's a condition of antagonism or discord. Seditions. It's called violent party strife, attended with rioting and disorder. That's a revolt or a rebellion. Heresies. All of those are works of the flesh. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. All of those are, if those are taking place, that is of the flesh. Then look at verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. God gives us between 16 and 25 the characteristics of what is a fleshly walk and what is a Spirit-filled walk. What will happen with both? Christian, are you walking with God? David said God was real. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Many bad decisions are made when you don't ask God what He wants you to do. Many bad conversations are had when Christians don't yield to the Holy Ghost before they talk. I'll just read it one more time. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? No one masters it. It's just some work at it more than others. But no one's mastered walking with God. It's just something, this is a reset button, and I hope it helps you this week walk with God. Let's pray. Father, please.